Yeah, it's really serious. You know, it's all the plastic in the world today will outlive you and I. We want to be honest with people, but we also need to give people hope. And the way I give people hope is by giving them things to do that make a difference.
Welcome back, or welcome to the Finding Mastery podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Gervais, and I'm excited to welcome Judith Henk as our guest on this week's episode. She was appointed by President Obama as a regional administrator of the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. She's held several other top influential positions in state and federal government where she advised on environmental policy. So now Judith is the founder and the president of Beyond Plastics, which I want to encourage you to check out, beyondplastics.org, which is an organization based out of Bennington College that is on a mission to end plastic pollution through education, advocacy, and institutional change. Judith, thanks for being here.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you, Michael. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited for this conversation. Your name came across our desk when we read an article about plastic recycling in the Atlantic earlier in the year. And I was fascinated, meet horrified by what you shared and how you shared the information surrounding recycling and the impact on the environment. And so that's obviously why I wanted to have you on. That being said, I can't think of a more important conversation to have about where we are right now. So I'm wondering if you could maybe start us off with like the state of the union for plastics in our planet.
Yeah, it's Michael, it's pretty grim. Americans and people worldwide care about the environment. They are particularly concerned about the proliferation of plastic pollution, which is a greater threat in the global south because the United States and the EU export a lot of plastic to other countries that cannot be managed in our own countries, which I think is extraordinarily problematic. So there's this disconnect between what the public wants and then what's actually happening in commerce and in the world of politics. And the reason why I've spent the last 40 years working on environmental protection issues is I'm a big believer in do what you can where you are with what you have. So I am someone, just one person who cares about the environment in the United States. I'm not an international expert, but I certainly understand the implications internationally. But we've got a fundamental problem in the United States. The US is 4% of the world's population, but we use 17% of the world's energy. We gobble up 24% of the world's natural resources. And then not surprisingly, we create 12% of the world's waste. This is not sustainable. And I think the plastic pollution problem illustrates the lack of sustainability more than almost anything.
Wow. Okay. So when you think about a way through, I'm thinking about Leonard Cohen right now, one of the great singer-songwriter poets that says, in everything, there's a crack. And it's in that crack where the light comes through. So it's dark. It's like not good. Where do you see the light? Because I'll share with you, like, this matters to me. I grew up in the ocean surfing. I feel connected in that way to Mother Nature. And I get overwhelmed. Like, I hear these stats and I get overwhelmed. I'm like, okay, so in our family, we recycle. Our company here at Finding Mastery, we have had support from a company called Kalima, where we are carbon neutral. And so we're making small contributions, but then I get overwhelmed. Like the big companies that are like, I don't know, doing their thing and kind of being sloppy with the way that they take care of our resources is crazy making to me. And so where's the light? Where's the crack that we can find some hope in this?
You're right. It's pretty grim. And by the end of the day, after spending the day looking at the connection between plastics and climate change, plastics and the ocean, plastics and environmental justice and in health, it can get overwhelming. So I will say at the end of my workday, I do kind of crawl to the finish line, but I wake up every morning actually excited and hopeful about change. And that's because I think we have the public on our side. People know something's off and they want to do something about it. And while I have met many climate change deniers, I've never met a plastic pollution denier, because the evidence is everywhere. You go to a park, you see a plastic bag in the tree. You walk down a city street, you see people tossing cigarette butts all over the place. And those cigarette butts have little bits of plastic in them. You're at the beach, people have plastic water bottles. If it gets loose, it goes right into the water. The real serious part of this is that we are turning our ocean into a landfill. About 15 million metric tons of plastic enter the ocean every year, mostly from the land. When I first heard that statistic, I thought, is there illegal dumping with cruise ships? Well, there's a little bit of that, but most of it is litter. So let's say you're walking down the street in New York City and a plastic bag is littered. That it rains, the plastic bag goes into a storm sewer. Then it goes into the East River or the Hudson River, and it very likely goes into the ocean. When it gets out into the ocean, it's exposed to sunlight, so it gets brittle. And then you've got wave action, and the waves act almost like paper cutters. So one plastic bag will be thousands of pieces of microplastics that then become available in the marine environment. The United Nations has documented close to 300 species are impacted by plastic pollution in a negative way. Seabirds, fish, marine mammals, and you and I. So the problem is getting worse. I know numbers are numbing, but one way to think about this is scientists tell us that unless we change things, and we are definitely going to talk about how to change the trajectory, by 2025, for every 3 pounds of fish in the ocean, there will be 1 pound of plastic. And that is so serious, particularly for giant parts of the world's population relies on fish as their major source of protein. So fish, especially marine life that you eat whole, mussels, shrimp, oysters, all have microplastics in it. So it's pretty serious. We're really screwing up the web of life.
Okay. So where's the crack? Where's the hope?
The hope is, first, individuals are taking action. More and more people are bringing their own bags to the supermarket. When they go out for coffee in the morning, they're getting their coffee served in reusable cups. There are green businesses that are taking off that know that the public wants an alternative to plastics. I will say, though, the problem is so serious that we cannot solve it with individual action. We need institutional change. I'm a former federal regulator, so the way I think you change the status quo is by passing new laws and then enforcing those laws. And that is slowly happening all over the world. About 10 states now in the US have banned plastic bags. That's like overnight. During COVID, I would go to our local supermarket and pick up groceries curbside. I would order online and I would, because I didn't want to go inside the store. And I would sometimes show up early just to watch people entering the supermarket with their reusable bags, you know, big burly guys smoking cigarettes in the parking lot and bringing in reusable bags. New Yorkers use about 22 billion plastic bags a year. So having a state the size of New York ban plastic bags is significant. So we're slowly making progress. That's where the crack is. We have the public on our side. There was a recent poll that showed 82% of American voters want to embrace local, state, and federal policies that reduce the use of plastic. And what's really encouraging is that this is bipartisan. This is Republicans, Democrats, Green Party, Independent Party people. Across the board, people want to see less plastic.
Finding Mastery is brought to you by listening. This is exactly what their app does. It helps you listen to books and content that you might not be able to sit down and actually have the time to read. There was a time in early in my career where I remember sitting in the back hallways of my university and being in the library for hours, reading all of the sports psychology literature and research that I could get my hands on. I loved it. I cherished it. The field of sports psychology is just absolutely on a bender right now. It is growing so fast. It is nearly impossible to keep up with all of the research that's coming out. So that's why I love what listening is doing. It's a game changer for me. So the listening app, it lets me listen to anything that's in writing while I'm on the go. Everything from academic papers to books, PDFs, web pages, articles, anything that I put in their app, it reads it to me. It narrates to me. And plus their AI is great. The way that the interface sounds, like, of course, it's not a human that's reading, but it kind of, the AI is so good of what they're doing, it just works. And then there's also this note-taking function. They know that people like us like to take notes. And so it's as simple as when I hear a key idea, I instantly press a button and that section is saved. They've done a really nice job with this product and they've got a great offer for us. Usually they only give a 2-week trial, but because you are listening to Finding Mastery, you get a whole month for free. Check that out, a whole month for free. So I want to encourage you to go check it out. listening.com/findingmastery or use the code findingmastery at checkout to get started. Again, it's listening.com/findingmastery or use the code findingmastery at checkout to get 1 month completely free. Finding Mastery is brought to you by Hims. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing simple, convenient, and affordable access to science-informed treatments for erectile dysfunction, known as ED. They also are servicing hair loss, weight loss, and more. Health struggles like ED, they're common, but they can be hard to talk about when it comes to finding a solution. That's why Hims has been a game changer for so many men. The entire process is 100% online. Answer a series of questions on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option for you. If prescribed, your medication ships directly to you for free in a discreet package. No waiting rooms, no pharmacy visits, and no insurance is needed. Plus, you can manage your plan directly on the Hims app. You can track progress and learn more about your conditions and how to treat them from leading medical experts. If you or a loved one has been struggling with ED, I really want to encourage you to go check out Hims. I know ED often has a psychological component to it as well. So be sure that you're stacking some psychological best practices into your daily routine. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/findingmastery. That's Hims, HIMS.com/findingmastery for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/findingmastery. Disclaimer, hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. It's like in my home when Amazon or whomever ships something, and I know I'm not talking about plastics right now, but the amount of paper or the size of the box is also, I want to stay down the plastics lane, but I'm echoing your sentiment on, like, people don't want these practices. And unfortunately, people don't want to pay the price maybe to go to a glass bottle as opposed to a plastic bottle, which is cheaper. And you can maybe course correct me on that. And California is one of those states that did that. And actually, I don't know if California did it, but I know that our local in the South Bay of California, they're banned. And for a while, straws were banned too, which was really cool. And so we had these, I don't know, what are they, but like paper straws that, you know, if you go to a restaurant, and then they're slowly starting to creep back in. Cause I think we say one thing, which is we want good for the planet. We don't want plastics. This is not cool. Da 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 da. And then we want our conveniences. And so it's a little bit of crazy making. It's called cognitive dissonance, right? And it's a little crazy making that we do this to ourselves and the planet, And part of it is because the consequence is not immediate and swift. And so,
yeah, and it's not where we live. So on a lot of these issues, you have to constantly hit the reset button. So local governments need to remind people, how do you properly recycle? If there's a law in the books that it's plastic straws only upon request, there's a lot of turnover in the hospitality industry. You have to constantly remind people. But where the damage is being felt is in communities like Louisiana and Texas and Appalachia, where plastics are being produced. And then in countries like Malaysia, Vietnam, the Philippines, where plastics are being exported from the US and the EU. So I think a lot of the plastics issue is viewed through the lens of what's your zip code. You know, if you're a restaurant owner in the Bay Area, you might not educate your staff all the time about alternatives to plastic. But if you're in touch with people living in there's a stretch of Louisiana, 80 miles along the Mississippi River, where there's a concentration of petrochemical facilities, and plastics is chemicals and fossil fuels. So we have this concentration of communities where petrochemical expansion is happening, Louisiana, Texas, Appalachia. The stretch of river, it's about 80 miles along the Mississippi in Louisiana, is actually called Cancer Alley.
Come on. Because
the cancer rates are so high. And people just kind of casually toss that out. Oh, this is happening in Cancer Alley. And it hurts your heart, especially when you know people who live in Cancer Alley and where the cancer rates are skyrocketing. And we know it's because people are exposed to carcinogenic chemicals from the making of plastic, among other things. So there's a lot at stake.
Okay. So why doesn't recycling work?
Well, I'm a big supporter of recycling. We should
You are.
I support recycling of paper, cardboard, metal, glass. I started my town's recycling program in upstate New York 35 years ago. Everyone out there, keep recycling. However, plastics recycling has been a failure. And you've got really smart listeners who can make the distinction on what you should and shouldn't put in your recycling bin. The article I had in The Atlantic with co-author Jan Dell from a group called The Last Beach Cleanup articulated that in the United States, we only recycle 5 to 6% of our plastics. Putting plastics into the recycling bin doesn't mean it gets recycled. And a lot of people are confused because they're the recycling, the iconic three chasing arrows. And companies and brands put that on their packaging, knowing full well that the plastic bag or the polystyrene or styrofoam package, that may have the chasing arrow symbol on it, but it's not recyclable. Here's the story on why we have such a low recycling rate in the US. And it's never ever topped 10%. It's never gotten into double digits.
It was 9.5 in 2014. So we've gotten worse.
We've gotten worse, mostly because China closed its doors to US and European recyclables because we were sending them so much trash with the recycling. So here's the problem. When you are recycling an aluminum can, you recycle it into a new aluminum can. So can to can. And by the way, you save 95% of the energy, as if you were making the aluminum can from scratch.
Okay.
Plastics there are literally hundreds of different types of plastics, and they don't lend itself to easy recycling. So think of your own house. You may have a bright orange detergent bottle near your washing machine, and then in your refrigerator, you may have a clear, squeezable plastic bottle for ketchup. Those things cannot be recycled together. So we have hundreds of different types of plastics, all with chemical additives that are different and all with different colorants. So it's not like the aluminum can or the newsprint. It doesn't get recycled into a new detergent bottle or a new condiment bottle. It often will get recycled into like decking for, you know, your back porch. It's called downcycling. But what you and I and most people usually do is wish cycle. We put things into the recycling bin and just hope that it gets recycled. The reality is, if you look at the bottom of the container, you'll see a teeny tiny number. Number one and number two can get recycled. But all the other numbers do not put in your recycling bin because it just contaminates the load.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if that stuff's in there, what happens? Does it get sorted or does the whole load?
Yes. Well, what happens is it goes to a recycling center called a material recovery facility, mm-hmm. and the non-recyclables get pulled out and it gets sent to a landfill or an incinerator. But sometimes when there's so much non-recyclables in the load, the whole load may get rejected. And that's what China did to the United States. We kept shipping them loads that had like 40% contaminants, meaning stuff that wasn't recyclable. The plastics industry knows this. They know their material better than you and I do. They know it's not recyclable, but they still put the Chasing Arrow logo on so many things. And they confuse the public because they know the public supports recycling. But plastic recycling has been an abysmal failure.
Oh, Jesus. So what does a higher number mean?
It's just the resin code. It doesn't mean anything. It's just the type of plastic resin it is.
Okay, so
do you have any numbers there?
Yeah, our producer, our coffee shop next door. So our producer just went and grabbed a tea, and it's got the three arrows, and it's got a five on it.
Not recyclable.
Alex, what are you doing? We can't. So we need to say to them something. But what? Okay, so it's paper. So that part's right, but the plastic is like
polypropylene, if it says number five, and the paper is
probably. I don't even think we shouldn't be even drinking from that kind of plastic. How about it?
Right. You should not, because there's also toxic chemicals in plastics. So we're going to get Alex a reusable mug that he's going to bring over and over to the store.
Alex. Oh, so he says he's got one. Okay. So So I'm always using mine. Okay. And so they don't like to touch it, by the way. When you go to a tea or coffee shop, they're like, do you want me to clean it for you? I'm like, no, just put it in there. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I just cleaned it. Okay. So what about these types of things?
Yeah, that looks like Nalgene. I would shift to metal, or glass. Metal.
Or what?
Or metal or glass.
Right. Like one of these jobs.
You have it right, Michael. And mirror. I bet you're going to use that, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of times before you lose it.
So let's give a plug to Mirror. They're up in Seattle and they've done some nice work. We partnered with them on a project and it's MIIR. They've done a nice job and their products feel really good. And yeah, I'm using it forever. Like it's durable. It doesn't kind of, you know, all the right stuff. So.
And it's second nature, right? When you started doing it, the people in the coffee shop are a little confused. And now more and more people bring their own cups. It was often stopped during COVID, but now most coffee shops will take that.
Yeah.
And also I find people working in coffee shops, when I talk to them, they don't love the idea that they are personally handing out thousands of single-use disposable cups every day. And many are very interested in being part of the solution and will take a little bit of that extra time to fill your reusable cup, which is really nice of them.
Yeah, it's really good. I think that, you know, companies like Starbucks, I think they give you a discount even. Like they don't charge you for the cup, or there's some sort of incentive for that. They recognize that they're not costing as much to produce that. And
yeah, they save money. They don't have to buy all the cups. I teach at Bennington College in Vermont, and I realize we breathe rarefied air in Vermont. It's not everywhere. But the college administration on their own, without me even talking to them, opened a new coffee shop on campus. If you want coffee or tea, you have to bring your own cup.
Okay, Come on,
no
Vermont.
Disposable cups at all.
So I want to tell you about this company. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're called, it's called Future, P-H-U-T-U-R-E, Future, and it's a pH water. So it's designed for hydration, which is, the science is really exciting to me. I'm just now getting involved with them. But when you hold it, this is their big thing, is that it's 100% biodegradable. I think it's maybe 99% or something, because there is a small little reusable plastic bit that you drink from the bottle, but everything else goes, it goes in the trash can. And so fossil fuels aren't used to be able to quote unquote recycle it. And I have you heard of that company, Future?
I have heard of that innovation. I don't think I've heard of the company, and I'm very interested in that and supportive, but I do want to say the better move is reusable containers.
There you go. Yeah. And I think here's what, like, if I'm dehydrated, I don't have a way to get water. I don't have my reusable, and I'm running into a store to grab something. What do I grab? Do I grab plastic? Do I grab metal? Do I grab glass? Or do I grab something that's fully biodegradable? And it's, I'm more interested in the fully biodegradable, but I'd love to hear your take about that versus glass or metal.
Yeah. So I think, the nice thing about glass and metal is that it can be made from recycled material, and then you can often easily recycle it. So we're seeing more and more companies offering water in aluminum cans. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in what the innovation that you're talking about. I'm not sure what I would say about the, you know, one-on-one comparison. They probably want it to be composted, since it's biodegradable, which means you have to keep it separate in a composting bin. And then it typically only goes to high temperature commercial composting operations. What always wins is reusables. So I know it's not always possible. You're not always schlepping your reusable with you. And look, none of us have to be perfect. You just do the best you can. I don't know if you've heard the phrase zero waste, where there are a lot of people who aspire to creating zero waste. And my favorite quote about zero waste is from a woman named Anne-Marie Bonneau. She says, "We don't need a handful of people doing zero waste perfectly. We need millions of people doing zero waste imperfectly." So you do the best you can. You don't guilt trip people, but we should also make it easy for people. For instance, I came back from Europe a number of years ago and was so impressed with the number of public drinking water fountains all over Rome, all over Italy. I could just keep refilling my container. And I get back to New York City, you rarely see a public drinking water fountain.
I don't like it. I hear it. I hear the intelligence of what you're saying, but I just go back to, like, in fourth grade, and, you know, some kid was drooling all over the handle or in the like, I don't know. And so in a public place, I'm COVID scarred or something, but I feel a little skeeved by.
How about the water refill stations that you see in airports? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, where you don't, unless someone's like twisting their head and sticking their mouth. And yeah, I'm okay with those.
That only happens twice a day.
Yeah, right. I'm okay. Like, that one feels good to me. And then I start getting weird, like, about, is this water actually filtered properly? And then I go, wait, hold on. The bottled water is probably, like, not what they say it is. And so I move past that one quickly, but I do use those.
Well, bottled water has more microplastics in it than tap water. And we think it's the abrasion of the bottle cap, little bits of plastic get into the water. But water at public drinking water fountains is the same water that's coming to your kitchen sink. It's exactly the same.
Say that again.
Water coming from public drinking water fountains is the same as water coming from your kitchen sink. And when you're home, in your home or apartment, you're probably getting most of your water from your kitchen sink, right?
Not in LA. I don't know. It doesn't taste right to me. So ours is filtered.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're traumatized by the kid in fourth grade. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. I want to talk to you about a new sponsor right here, Hydro. I love what they're doing. They are awesome. I don't know if you're into rowing like I am. I really enjoy it. What I try to do is I try to move around different cardio exercises. Sometimes on a bike, sometimes I'm rowing, sometimes I'm outside. But when I want to row, they've got it dialed in. They've done something fundamentally different than all the other rowers. One, it's not this loud machine that is making a ton of noise and, you know, chains slapping all over the place. They've done this in a really slick, premium, elevated way. And then the other thing they've done is that there's a nice screen that you can have a guide or a coach with you. And their coaches are Olympians and world-class athletes. And what they've done is they're filming, full stop, they are filming all over the world on places where their experts are rowing, and then you get to go with them. And they're coaching you the whole way. I love it. My favorite coach by far is Mac. She's great. And I just want to encourage you to give them a shot. If you love rowing, I think you're going to love this machine. And if you're not into rowing, I don't know if you know this, but rowing, there's been some research around rowing that rowing engages over 80% of your muscles while you're doing it. So it's a really efficient exercise. This spring, join the growing rowing community at Hydro. Head over to Hydro.com and use the code MASTERY to save up to $400 off your Hydro. That's Hydro.com, Hydrow.com, and use the code MASTERY to save up to $400. Hydro.com, use the code MASTERY. Finding Mastery is brought to you by AG1. It's really important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality. And that's why for almost a decade now, I've been drinking AG1. When I first was connected with them, I thought, oh, this is great. This is great. And then I double-clicked to understand their process and how they went about it. And I just love the rigor that goes into what they're creating and the product that they have. And they've gone through so many iterations to get it just right, 52 of them to be exact. Sometimes quality can be a buzzword, but they are committed. They are fundamentally committed to have a great product for us. They're interested in absorption. They're interested in high quality manufacturing. They rigorously test their product. So I trust what's in AG1. And one of the reasons I have extra confidence in that statement is they are NSF certified for sport. That's one of the most rigorous independent quality and safety certification programs in the supplement industry. They've made it so easy as well. What I do every morning is I take a scoop, put it into a cup of water, shake it up, and it's the first thing that I put in my stomach. And I love it. It just gives me the sense like, okay, I've invested in my health and I haven't even started my day yet. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, I want to encourage you to go check out AG1. So try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/findingmastery. Again, that's drinkag1.com/findingmastery. I hope you go check them out. All fun aside, I do want to learn about a way that people can get involved. So make great choices. Right? Like be smart about reusables, eliminate or reduce plastics as best as you possibly can. And then what are some of the policies that we can get involved? And I also want to kind of gently understand, like, how did you put yourself in a position to be appointed, by President Obama to be the mm-hmm. regional administrator for EPA?
Yeah, sure. So people should go to our website, which is beyondplastics.org, plural. We have a lot of good information on taking action in your own community, and you can get involved to the degree that you're comfortable. And if you have no time, but you have a lot of money, you can send us a donation and we will work for you. It's tax deductible. We also, just earlier this year, started a new initiative called Local Groups and Affiliates, where three people or more can come together and start a local Beyond Plastics group. It really only takes three people in a community to change the world. I also teach an online class on Zoom on plastic pollution. I used to teach this just to wonderful Bennington College students in person, and then COVID hit. And Bennington College asked if I would teach the class on Zoom, which I've been doing. And I have every semester over 100 students from all over the world taking the class. What's so interesting is 2/3 of the students are community people who are auditing the class because they want information to take action. And so my students, my college students get to see, we have these great conversations after class, like, oh my gosh, these community people are spending like, 20 hours a week doing volunteer work on plastics. How is that? Why do they do that? So my students see people taking action. And then the community people learn about pronouns from my students. So it's a wonderful fertilization information. Good. And so lots on our webpage on how to get involved. And again, you do a little, you do a lot, definitely send us money. The other thing is there's a very important bill introduced in the Congress. It's called the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act. What it does is puts a pause on the construction of new petrochemical facilities that make plastic. It adopts a nationwide ban on plastic bags. It provides a minimum deposit on beverage containers or bottle bills. 10 states have bottle bills to encourage more reuse and recycling. It's a polystyrene ban. It's plastic straws only upon request. It directs the federal government to look at the health impacts of microplastics. It's sponsored by Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley, who is a tremendous environmental leader. The House sponsor is from California, Representative Alan Lowenthal. He is retiring, unfortunately, at the end of the year, so there'll be a new sponsor. But let me share the bill numbers with your listeners. And I have to let you in on a little secret. Most members of Congress never hear from their constituents. So if they get like literally 15 or 20 phone calls on a bill, they pay attention, especially from constituents. So people who are busy, don't spend time calling members of Congress that are not your elected representatives. You can call Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. You can call House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, but you want to become pen pals or phone friends with your own House member and your two U.S. senators. So I know this is very U.S.-centric, and so people in other countries, you replicate it to your level of government. But in the U.S., call your two U.S. senators and urge them to support Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act, which is Senate Bill number 984. And then the same bill is introduced on the House side, H.R. 2238. And there's lots of information on the details of this bill on the Beyond Plastics website.
Okay, brilliant. I love that call to action. I want to say, if you're listening right now, like, this would be great.
You know what I did a few years ago in the run-up to the Iraq War, which I was so personally opposed to? I just put my House member and my two U.S. senators in my phone. So when I'm driving hands-free, I just call them every day. Put their numbers in your phone.
Judith, like, that's a gadfly. You know, like, that is awesome. So, but that is great. So you just leave a message. They see your number pop up and they're like, Judith is calling again.
You usually get a real person. It's an intern. And then they keep a tally of who's calling on what. So if there's an issue that you're so this is to your question, where do you see the light? When you're outraged by something, and as the saying goes, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. So whatever the issue is, take that concern and call your elected officials. Okay, write a letter to the editor, do something.
Okay, so let's do this to be balanced. What is the downside? What is the counter argument that is reasonable? Mm-hmm. What is their position based on logic that they say that the opposition says, no, it's bloated, it's too expensive, it's like, what is the counter argument?
Well, the opposition says it's not realistic to get rid of plastics in our commerce. Plastics are cheap, which is true. So why make people pay more? The question is, who's really paying? We're paying with our health. We're paying with taxpayers having to clean up all this litter. the plastic producers have no skin in the game. You know, if you're a big company like McDonald's or Kellogg's or Unilever, your packaging designers sit down and they think about, okay, how do we make this attractive so people buy it and it stands out on the shelf? They're not thinking what happens to it after it's purchased.
Right.
And we have to get them skin in the game. And there are different state bills called extended producer responsibility, which makes the packaging companies take some responsibility for what they're flooding the market with. But the major argument I hear, look, I go around the country, I support local polystyrene bans, Breakthrough from Plastics Pollution Act, statewide bills to ban plastic bags. I hear the same arguments every time. And that is, we don't want to lose jobs. There are a lot of people employed in the fossil fuel and the chemical industry, and that's what plastics are made from. And the second thing is, the alternatives to plastics are more expensive than single-use plastic. That is sometimes true. And my response is, well, expensive to who? There's a phrase called environmental externalities. If you're a fossil fuel power plant and you've got all sorts of pollution coming from the smokestack, and therefore Adirondack lakes are dead because of acid rain, or people living near the smokestack have high asthma rates, who's paying for all of that damage?
Yeah, so it's short term versus long term. I mean, the planet's paying, our kids are paying, we're paying in a different way. And so, okay. And how much does it cost?
It varies item by item, and that's why I'm so focused on reusables and refillables. There are a lot of reusable products that'll go around 1,000 times. So
Okay.
reusables can be cheaper than plastics as long as you use them a lot.
And let's be clear that what we're advocating for is reusables, right? Not something that is not, this bill is to reduce plastic, is to make it harder to have single use, whatever. Okay, I go back to that helpless thing, you know, and I don't have, I do not have a psychology of helplessness. I this place though, this environmental thing, it just feels so big, and I'm so inspired. When I read your work in The Atlantic, and then I listen to you now, I'm like, right, fuck, we need more people like Judith out there kicking ass. And like, Judith, you are really intelligent in this space, and your passion is legitimate. Can you hold my hand for just a moment? Would you hold my hand and help me understand, like, how do I call my Congress? My like, okay, so I'm in California, in Southern California. What do I do? I'm sorry to ask you this, but like, I want to do it right now with you, if you don't
Yeah,
mind.
it's a wonderful question, and
Okay.
I assume too much. So the first thing you do is you want to figure out who represents you. So in
Okay,
California,
Alex, who's representing us? Okay, Alex is on that right now.
let's
Okay.
start with your two US senators. So one is Dianne Feinstein. She's been in office a long time. And the second is newly elected, and I can't remember his name. So figure out your two US senators and your one House member. So let's start with Dianne Feinstein. So you go to the internet and you Google, what is Dianne Feinstein's phone number? And it'll pop up.
What do you got,
It'll be
Alex? Alex is pulling it up right now.
her Washington, D.C. office.
Okay.
And it'll be some of her local California offices, and you can call either.
Okay. And then so we would go through all of them. So we're going to call right now. 202-224-3841. Okay, so what do I say? Judith, what do I
Now,
say?
before you call, take 1 minute to think about what you're going to say. So you're calling because you really want to reduce plastics,
Yes, I do.
and you always want the bill number. So you're calling to urge her to support Senate Bill 984. Make a few notes.
They're busy. Can you hear me? Okay. Hold or call back in a few minutes. Okay, so We're not going to let you go, Diane. We're calling back. Okay.
That Good is effort. Really bad constituent services.
It's bad.
That's bad. Most House and Senate offices you get through to a person.
Look at that, dude. I feel deflated again. Not really. No, actually, I'm fired up. So it's 9854. 984 is the number, right?
Senate Bill 984.
Yeah. Senate Bill, SB 984. Okay, so that's what we're doing. All right, good. I'm fired up right now. Okay, so I'm calling back before you're done. And I'm going to say, listen, I'm concerned about plastics. And, you know, I'm supporting SB 984.
SS 984.
SS?
Just S.
Just S. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. All right, S 984. Okay, Judith, let's go back. Let's give her a few minutes to gather herself, Miss Diane Feinstein. Let's give her a few minutes, okay? And then, so let's go back though. How did you position yourself, you know, to be on the council, the EPA council for appointed by President Obama?
Well, the fun thing about EPA is, which was started, by the way, by Richard Nixon, the main office is in Washington, D.C., and then there are 10 regional offices all over the country. And the regional offices is where the fun is. Mm-hmm. If you think cleaning up toxic waste sites and dealing with sewage and rivers is fun, which I do. So there are 10 regions, and I've lived my whole life in upstate New York. So I live in EPA Region 2, which is a really cool region. It's New York, 8 Indian nations in New York, New Jersey, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. So it's basically like 3 different regions. And I knew the New York issues really well. And the New York issues are very similar to the New Jersey issues, but I didn't know the Caribbean. So that was exciting. So what you do is, if you feel like you're qualified and you want to work really hard, you just throw your hat in the ring. And I'm an environmental advocate. I have been for the last 40 years. But right before I went to EPA, I served as Deputy Secretary for the Environment in the New York Governor's Office. And the Obama administration liked having people who had some state government experience. So a lot of very capable people threw their hat in the ring. I feel very fortunate. It was, you know, the public service opportunity of a lifetime. I was the longest serving regional administrator in EPA Region 2. Because, you know, there's a lot I wanted to get done. So we worked hard. Most of the staff at EPA are career staff, meaning they're there for their entire careers. And then the political appointees pop in and out whenever there's a new president. So you know when your last day on the job is. It's when the president leaves, you leave.
Okay. All right. Got it. And so what do you say to folks that say, oh, listen, EPA, that they're... it's a bureaucratic bullshit. They don't really get stuff done. They're good, feel good people that want to make a difference, but there's, you know, there's too much power on the other side, and they're just tripping over their own feet, and they don't have any teeth. They can't get something done.
That's partially true. I mean,
oh my God. Okay. All right.
EPA is very slow and very cautious. So when I decided to work on the immense problem of plastic pollution, I decided to do it outside of government. The regulatory agencies are never the tip of the spear on important issues. And one reason why EPA is so slow and so cautious is, one, they're underfunded. And two, they are sued by private industry more than any other agency. So you have someone like me who shows up saying, hey, we've got to get all the lighting in public schools that contain PCBs out of the schools, which is something I worked on in the New York City public school system. And inevitably, you have responsible but cautious lawyers saying, well, it's not really clear what our authorities are. We have to proceed, you know, really carefully. What if we're challenged? And so, you know, it's a whole different culture than what you have at like a nonprofit advocacy group. But EPA is really important. I mean, I just read an article today that the largest city in Mississippi, the capital of Mississippi, has lost their entire drinking water supply. 150,000 people don't have drinking water today in the city in Mississippi. Now, because of EPA, that's an outlier. That doesn't regularly happen because EPA is on top of drinking water issues.
Finding Master is brought to you by Apollo Neuro. By now, you're probably well aware that I am a huge fan of what they're doing. I love what they're building and how they're using science-backed technology to help people flourish. This is just a great technology that isn't measuring something. It's actually providing a state change for you to help you either downregulate, find a deeper sense of calm, maybe fall asleep a little bit easier. And if you want to be a bit more up and animated, they've got a way to help you do that as well. It's awesome. It works by sending silent, soothing vibrations. They call them Apollo vibes, of course. That's fun. And it's like music that you can just feel. Just like music, higher vibrations help improve your energy and focus, while lower vibrations, slower vibrations, help to reduce stress, help you relax. I use it twice a day. I use it after I do something really intense. So after it's a lift, after some fitness, after some sport, or after something I'm doing in the office. And I use it right before I go to bed. The science that they found is fascinating. Across various real world and clinical trials, Apollo wearable users experience up to 40% less stress and feelings of anxiety. That's an average, of course. 19% more time in deep sleep, 11% increase in HRV, heart rate variability, and up to 25% more focus and concentration. Those are radical. And because you're a part of the Finding Mastery community, you're going to get an exclusive, and I mean that word here, 15% off an Apollo wearable. So just head to apolloneuro.com/findingmastery and use the code findingmastery at checkout. This is an exclusive offer only available to Finding Mastery. I love that we get to do this together. So be sure to use our code. Again, APOLLONEURO. apolloneuro.com/findingmastery, or use the code findingmastery at checkout for 15% off your purchase. You're only getting that here. I really hope you'll check them out. Finding Mastery is brought to you by AquaTru. We all know how important hydration is to performance and recovery and well-being, but it's not just about how much you drink. The quality of your water plays a big role. And if you're like me and you don't fully trust tap water, and I think for good reason, research by the Environmental Working Group has shown that 3 out of 4 homes in the U.S. have harmful contaminants in tap water. That's why I'm really excited to introduce AquaTru. Their purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters. It's incredible. I can literally taste the difference in my water. Plus, the filters are affordable and long-lasting. Just one set of filters from their classic purifier makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water. That adds up to less than 3 cents per bottle. It feels great to know that all at once, I'm saving money, getting the highest quality water for the Finding Mastery team, and helping make a positive impact on the environment by eliminating single-use plastics all the way around. AquaTru comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and it even makes a great gift. And right now, because you're a Finding Mastery listener, you receive 20% off any AquaTru purifier. So just go to aquatru.com. You spell it AquaTru.com and enter the code FINDINGMASTERY at checkout. Again, that's aquatru.com. Enter the Finding Mastery code at checkout to receive 20% off any purifier that you buy there. Is EPA an important agency?
Absolutely. Because of EPA, air quality is reduced. Air pollution is down about 70%. However, we haven't tackled climate change effectively.
Yeah, like that's what I was going to ask you about. It's like, so COVID hit, the world shut down. We weren't driving for at least a brief period. We weren't flying a lot. We still are not flying as much, but you know, we're kind of back into it. Was that like this really amazing experiment where it gave us this interesting reset? Or are we so far gone that not even that helped?
No, there's data that shows air quality was dramatically improved during the shutdown. I mean, it's a terrible strategy, we never want a pandemic to improve air quality.
No, right, yeah.
But air quality improved, greenhouse gases were reduced, but now we're slowly moving back and ratcheting up all of the air pollution and greenhouse gas pollution back to where we were pre-COVID.
So there was a, you know, I mean, I kind of like this, not the pandemic bit, not the sickness, and not the unanticipated consequences that come from a global crisis. None of that, but this idea of, let's be bold for a minute and say 3 weeks. 3 weeks where, I don't know, we just paused for 3 weeks. And I get businesses are tight and I get, you know, rent had to be paid. But when there's those forgivenesses on rent and whatever, it's like, God bless it. That felt great for, like, as a human, like that piece of it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that, is it Miss Nature or Miss Planet or Mrs. Planet? Is she married? I don't know, but we call her Mother. But, you know, Mother Nature, I'm sure, was like, God, this is great. So yeah. I don't know. I felt like I needed it. And I don't know what your experience was like.
Well, you know, tremendous worry. So I agree with all the caveats, but I also felt like being forced to slow down is good for society. It was good for me. Mm. But the worry and the anxiety was so overwhelming. And I think if COVID hit when Joe Biden was president, I probably would have had more optimism that we would have gotten out of it without a million deaths. Mm. But I remember very early days of COVID when I saw my doctor for just a regular checkup or something. And I said, so how are you doing? You medically know what's coming at us. And he said, I'm in mourning for the future because I know what's going to happen. And we are mature enough. We should be able to have public policies that drive down greenhouse gas emissions without relying on a global pandemic to get us there.
Yeah. Okay. Scandinavia has done a nice job. Norway in particular. I was looking at some of the stats that you shared, and they 92% of the recycling is turned back into bottles. You know, like they're kind of getting the recycling game right. Do we have any shot in the US to get this
sure
close to that? We do.
If we stop relying so much on cheap plastics, we do. The problem is the plastic. We can do mm-hmm. reusable, refillable. We can source reduce things. There's so much packaging that is layer after layer that we can even just get rid of, you know, and there are a lot of innovative green companies. I just coordinated a conference last week on plastic pollution, and our closing panels were green companies that have eliminated or dramatically reduced their use of plastic. They're doing it because, you know, the heads of these companies feel strongly about this, but also because there's a market. But we have to mainstream this. This shouldn't be like eliminating plastics shouldn't just be for people who can spend a little bit of extra money or who have a lot of time to research things on the internet. It has to be like in every community, regardless of income level. What I worry about is organic food industry, for instance. It wasn't long ago organic food was twice as expensive as pesticidal food. So I remember when my son was really little, both my husband and I have always worked for nonprofits. And we had this delightful little baby boy, and he drank a lot of apple juice. And I would get the apple juice at the local food co-op. And one day my husband is reaching for a glass of apple juice. And I said, hold on, honey, don't drink that. That's the baby's apple juice. You get to drink the toxic stuff. Because the organic apple juice was like two or three times more expensive than apple juice made from apples grown with pesticides. So mm-hmm. we don't want to be on the plastics issue where we are on the organic food issue, that it's financially out of reach for people.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. I don't know how to solve that, but I hear you saying it and I go, yep, that makes sense. And, you know, how do you think? of all the things that we can do on a day-to-day basis, what are, if somebody wants to take action every day in a small way, mm-hmm. what would some of those actions be?
Make sure you're registered to vote. Get other people registered to vote. Talk to friends and family. The midterm election in the US is going to be tight. I think we solve the plastic pollution crisis with a combination of political action and personal action. What I urge people to do personally is look at their own homes, their own places of business. What's your heaviest use of plastic? So, like, unless you use a freakish amount of ketchup, don't worry too much about the ketchup bottle. But if you're getting a cup of coffee every day in a plastic cup, let's switch that out. So look at your heaviest use of plastic and see what you can switch. I'm not naming names.
I am. I'm. You know what you've done a nice job of, Judith? You haven't made me feel badly about myself, or, you know, like you have a beautiful way about just saying, no, here's some data, and I'm working my life efforts towards making sense of this and helping, you know, like, but you could do some things too. And it's really bad, but you say it like it is, you know, it's like almost you're forcing me to feel even worse because you're so kind and I'm not having to defend myself. Like, yeah, but you know, so your way that you have figured out how to share this information is noted. And I appreciate that a lot.
Well, the show's not over yet. I could have you in tears by the end. I'm joking.
Well, yeah, I think you could. I read somewhere that you said that 450 years it takes for one bottle to be broken down.
Yeah, it's really serious. You know, it's all the plastic in the world today will outlive you and I. So, you know, we want to be honest with people, but we also need to give people hope. And the way I give people hope is by giving them things to do that make a difference. And, you know, we hear from a lot of people who want to, I'll be like super honest now. We hear from a lot of people who are very diligent about making sure their kids are not like sucking on plastic pouches for baby food. They're very careful with their own children and their own lives. But then it kind of ends there, and we want to welcome all of those people, but we really need people to take political action. And I mean, in a nonpartisan way, you know, getting informed, joining a group, making the phone call you're going to make to Senator Dianne Feinstein, writing letters to the editor. It all makes a difference.
We're doing it again. Come on, be my coach. Will you be my coach again?
Sure. So you got the bill number written down, right? Senate 984.
Yep.
Make a few notes on what you want to say so you're not on the spot.
I'm on the spot.
And you're doing the right thing. You're calling during daytime hours when her office is open.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you for calling the Washington, D.C. office of Senator Dianne Feinstein.
Another message.
Open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Ah.
Okay, Dianne. We're going to try another time. Now you got me fired up. It's another message. Okay. All right. So let's go back to what we can control. Can you give me a couple frameworks, like aluminum over reusables, or reusables over aluminum, paper over, you know, plastics or whatever? Can you give a couple frameworks on how to make decisions as well?
It's so easy. Plastic as the last resort.
Okay.
So, you know, if your car has broken down and it's hot and you're at a gas station and you really need water, go ahead and buy that plastic water bottle. But if you're in your normal day-to-day life, hopefully with a reliable way of getting around or mass transit, and you're at the supermarket, you're going to find you don't have a lot of choice, but anything you can do to avoid plastic should be your framework. And then reusables are the best. And also, you know, if there are products that are not overpackaged, Beyond Plastics is doing a grassroots campaign calling on Trader Joe's to stop overpackaging all of their produce. which they promised they would stop doing a couple years ago, and they haven't. I like shopping there because of all the organic options that are affordable, but I don't buy most of the produce there because like one or two things are like in plastic tombs. So you'll know it when you see it. If something is overpackaged in plastic, even if you have to go somewhere else, just don't buy it.
Come on, let's call Trader Joe's now. You got me all fired up. We got to call it. Good. So like, yeah, I'm going to call them as well. And I love Trader Joe's. I think what they've done is nice. I don't know their business practices, but you know, I wonder what Mr. Joe would say.
And I think they're related to the discount store called Aldi's. Aldi's is much better. They have not handed out plastic, any kind of bags at all for many, many years. You have to bring your own bags all the time.
Yeah. Yep.
No paper bags, nothing.
Oh, no paper even. Yeah.
Yeah, no paper, no plastic. They're really fast at the checkout. You got to be alert and you pack your own stuff and great. They save money that way.
Okay. So last thing, one more time, go through, like, we find our senators, we find our House of Representatives. Tell me one more time.
Yeah. If you're in the United States, you have two U.S. senators.
Yep.
If you're in a state, not if you're in a territory, you have one House member. So, Michael, I think I steered you wrong. We should have called your House member. You would have been more likely to get through because the senators represent the entire states and the House members have much tinier districts. So call your two U.S. senators to support the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act, Senate Bill 984.
Okay.
Call your one House member, which you can figure out by Googling.
Okay.
And support HR 2238. And Judith's democracy tip is put the phone numbers of your elected representatives right in your phone.
I love it. Okay, awesome. And then let's go check out Beyond Plastics, everybody, and .org, and check out what Judith is doing. And, you know, I really appreciate and note that you're not using shame, you're not using guilt, you're not using frustration, or your tactic is information made available with a call to action of things that you could do if you're inspired. And I think that that's probably a big part of why you've been able to create the change that you have created and been included in the rooms that you've been included. And I would imagine that for most of us in the business of business and entrepreneurship and even raising children, that type of temperance that you have, that ability to stay the course, to be resilient, to have a long-term vision, to have a passion for what you're doing, you are embodying the psychological concept of grit. And I just want to say it's noted. And I think that there's a reason why that is one of the key characteristics for people that are successful. And so thank you for sharing in an eloquent way that part of you.
My pleasure. This has been fun. Thank you.
Yeah. And I love how you say it's political, but not a political issue. Like it's not, I'm just noticing that bit is like, maybe you are, and I'm just missing it, but it's a global issue. It's not just you know, bad politics at play.
Yeah, it really is global. And it is, it's going to take a global solution, but the United States is the top producer of plastics. So we should be the ones working the hardest to solve this.
Mm. Judith, thank you.
Great to be with you. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Thank you so much for diving into another episode of Finding Mastery with us. Our team loves creating this podcast and sharing these conversations with you. We really appreciate you being part of this community. And if you're enjoying the show, the easiest no-cost way to support is to hit the subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening. Also, if you haven't already, please consider dropping us a review on Apple or Spotify. We are incredibly grateful for the support and feedback. If you're looking for even more insights, we have a newsletter we send out every Wednesday. Punch over to findingmastery.com/newsletter to sign up. This show wouldn't be possible without our sponsors, and we take our recommendations seriously. And the team is very thoughtful about making sure we love and endorse every product you hear on the show. If you want to check out any of our sponsor offers you heard about in this episode, You can find those deals at findingmastery.com/sponsors. And remember, no one does it alone. The door here at Finding Mastery is always open to those looking to explore the edges and the reaches of their potential so that they can help others do the same. So join our community, share your favorite episode with a friend, and let us know how we can continue to show up for you. Lastly, as a quick reminder, information in this podcast and from any material on the Finding Mastery website and social channels is for information purposes only. If you're looking for meaningful support, which we all need, one of the best things you can do is to talk to a licensed professional. So seek assistance from your healthcare providers. Again, a sincere thank you for listening. Until next episode, be well, think well, and keep exploring.